Today's Mishnah in Masechet Idiot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Mishnah Vav. So, we're still in a group of Mishnayos that has to do with Rabbi Yishmael. So, we started off with Mishnah Dalet, which were the Shlosha Dvarim that Rabbi Yishmael said Lifnei HaChachamim, Bekerem B'Yavna. Then we had Mishnah Hei, where Rabbi Yishmael refused to give a simple yes or no answer, and we needed Rabbi Yeshua ben Matya, which was also Shlosha Dvarim, and that was Shlosha Dvarim Omru Lifnei Rabbi Yishmael, V'Omar Bem Lo Yisir Lo Heter, and we now find Shlosha Dvarim again in Mishnah Vav, which Rabbi Yishmael said, and which Rabbi Akiva did not agree with. Now, these Shlosha Dvarim, the truth is, it's a little bit... It's an attempt to make this Mishnah be part of the other Mishnahs, because it's not really Shlosha Dvarim. It's really one Dover that had three different examples, and that was that there were three things that he held were considered to be, once they're chopped, then there's no problem of using the juice that continues to come out over Shabbat. There is no Isser, which there would be on other peras, because there's a gzera, maybe you'll squeeze them. So we have a din normally that if you've got perites that are leaking on Shabbos and the mitz comes out of them, so there's a gzera on them, legabe shchita. So that's the mashkim shezovu is a gzera in general on perot. However, tainis Rabbi Yishmael, that the things like shum and boser and mililot, if you had ground up garlic, I mean, you wanted to have garlic juice to be able to dip your meat in, or you had boser. So boser is grapes that are not yet ripened, and they would squeeze them because there was like a bitter juice that was used also as a dip, and mililot, which are, of course, actual wheat or barley that you chop up before they ripen. And they also have a juice that is sharp, and they enjoyed dipping bread and things into this. So those things, Rabbi Yishmael says, it doesn't matter if they continue to leak out juice on Shabbos itself. And that would mean it was also the minhag they used to put heavy things on the various melilites or baiser or shum to make sure that the juice would continue to run out on Shabbos. And that... Tainid Rabbi Yishmael is mutter, because once these things are cut, you actually, even if you would squeeze them mamish on purpose, you would not be over on the deraisa, because these things will not contain their juice after they've been crushed. Now, she'en kein, of fruit, I understand if you start an orange and you keep squeezing the orange. So you're going to be breaking new cells and you're being over on mefarik. So there, in Achinami, the Charbonan answered the idea of the Mashkin on Shabbos that ended up coming out. But here, Rabbi Shmuel said there was no Isser. Masha Enkin, he says, Yigmor Mishitachashech. Rabbi Akiva says it's the same thing as Mashkim Shezovu. It's the overall Gezerah, and therefore Lo Yigmor. You can't allow the juice to continue to flow on Shabbos by putting on heavy things on them and making sure that you get fresh juice from those cut-up grapes, because the Rabbanan made an overall takana mashkin shezavu because of the chashash of mefarek, and which is a told of dash, and therefore they didn't start making distinctions between the type of things where you're going to be over on dash and the type of things that you aren't. People are unable to distinguish the two, and because of that, Rabbi Akiva said, it would be usher, af al piken, and lo yigmor. Now, that doesn't mean you can't, by the way, just to make it clear, it doesn't mean you can't allow the weights to remain. It means you can't use the juice. There's no isser in having something take place on Shabbos that is going to be controlled by your Shabbos clock, but you are not allowed to be nene from it because of mashkin shezofu. That was the machlokas over here. And we paskin against Rabbi Akiva in this case. We actually paskin that it is mutter, like Rabbi Yishmael. Now, Mishnah Zion, moves on from the relationship to Rabbi Yishmael, but contains the Shlosha Dvarim and Rabbi Akiva. So it's sort of like a flow from all of these Mishnayos in which it makes it easier to remember. And that was Shlosha Dvarim Amru Lifnei Rabbi Akiva. So there were three things that were said in front of Rabbi Akiva, and two of them were said to him in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, and one of them was said in the name of Rabbi Yoshua. So let's start with the two things that were said, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. Yotza'ah isha bi'ir shel zahav. So this is the Yerushalayim shel zahav that was put on a crown-like atara that the woman would put over her head, and that is mutter to carry on Shabbos. Now, generally speaking, there was a gezeira against any type of jewelry that a woman would take off in order to show off to friends. So if it's an expensive kind of thing that is easy to remove, she's not allowed to walk out in Rishus HaRabim, because if she's casually talking to a friend while taking a walk together, they take off her necklace, say, take a look at this. I mean, this is really beautiful. And not realizing it, continue to walk and be Hilach Arba Ames Brishus HaRabim. It's because of that, they were chosen not to go out Brishus HaRabim wearing these kind of things. However, Rabbi Eliezer tainted that a ir shel zahav is mutter. Why? Because it's only the derech of an isha chashuva to wear an ir shel zahav. And an isha chashuva, it's below her dignity to take things off and to show it to her. Come on, man. What are you, a two-bit like nouveau rich? So she would never do something like that. And therefore, there's no need to make a gezeira. And the other thing that was said over in the name of Rabbi Eliezer was that mafriche mionim are psulim le'edut. So even though what he's doing is not ipso facto geneva, however, it's considered to be an esmachta. So if you're doing racing pigeons, and you put in money on the race, so then in taking the bet at the end, you're considered to be over mitarabonon, and as a gazlan, because it's an esmachta. An esmachta lo kanya. He's not really considered to be mini rice apostle, but mitarabonon, they added mafriche yoni. Rabbi Yoshua, what was said in the name of Rabbi Yoshua, bifnei Rabbi Akiva? That in the event that a sheretz is being carried around by a weasel, by a chulda, and that chulda is walking with that dead sheretz in its mouth, agabi kikarot shel truma, and it's in Rishus HaYochid, so you don't have the heter of Safek Tumer Rishus HaRami. We don't know Safek Naga, Safek Lo Naga, we have no idea whether the weasel actually had touched the sheretz to any of the kikrei shel truma or not. The din is that even though it's a suffik tuma brishus hayochid, which is normally usher, in this case, sveiko tahor. And you will remember that this was sugya that we had learned about called tuma mitalechet. There's another din that called suffik of tuma, where it's mishalech, it's going from place to place, it is also safek tuma mehalechet, is considered to be tahor. This is yet another example of the sveikas of Tyre. Mishnah chet in perek beis. Another shlosha dvarim that involves Rabbi Akiva. Shlosha dvarim omar Rabbi Akiva al shnayim hodulo ve'al echad Lohodua. So there are also three things that Rabbi Akiva said with which the Chachomim agreed on two, but on one of them it was the Rabbim who argued with them. So first, the halacha is, remember that there's a din of Midras Hazov, and Midras Hazov would be anybody who's metameh Tumas Mishkav Umosha, which would include a Nida or a Zova or a Zov or a Yoledet. If any of those cases, there would be sitting on something that is roi for sitting, or standing on something that is roi for standing, even if you didn't actually touch it, directly with your skin, it doesn't matter. Tumas midras is going to be metami it as a tuma chamura. It's metami ota. But remember, that's only where it's meant for that purpose, only where it's meant for midras. And if it's amod v'naseh melachteinu, if it's a type of thing where people say, will you please get off of that, get your butt off of that, bucket so that we can use it to clean the floors, that's not called tumas midras. So here the question is whether a sandal shel sayadim is considered to be roy l'tumas midras. Now, a sandal shel sayadim is something that was put on the feet of people who were whitewashing, and they used to use very, very powerful lime, and that is going to burn your skin off if you sit in it for any time. And so because of that, they wore skin protection. So on their feet, they would generally wear a clod-like sandal that was made out of wood, covered the entire foot, very uncomfortable, not something that you'd like to go walking around in. It was basically a foot protection. So the question is a foot protection considered to be roy for tumas midras? So Rabbi Akiva said it is, not because it happens to be something that you stand in to prevent your skin being burnt off, but because at times the painter, if he lives nearby, he'll just walk home with this in order not to handle the whole thing. So lemaisa, in a pinch, it is used for walking. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva held that even though fundamentally it's a foot protection, but it's at times used as a real sandal, and therefore it is tome betumas midras. Another case. So remember how the tanur was made? Remember the machlokasin that we had about tanur back in Meseches Kelim? So the din of the tanur, they would make this very large earthenware. It was always made, and it was able to handle a lot of heat. So it was made out of earthenware, and it was basically an upside down, very long kind of pot that the bottom was attached to the ground, and it was cemented onto the ground, and that way you could put the fire on the ground, and the top could be opened, and you would put the pitot around the edge of the pottery. That was the pita oven, which is similar to a pita oven today. And the question over there is, what is the shvira? What is considered to be, obviously you can't be teivel it, because you can never be teivel kli cheres, but you can break it, like it says in the pasuk, kli cheres yishaver. What's considered to be broken in a tanur, and what is considered to still be usable? Because, I mean, after all, the tanur is broken in the sense that, I mean, it only works because it's cemented onto the ground. So, I mean, like, how much, what kind of height of this type of kli is still usable? Maybe you can use it like the Mishnah says. You can use it as a Fisher Price oven. They would make kids tanurim, literally. And those would be small tanurim. So like a small piece of an oven that survives is a nice Fisher Price oven. And these actually were working Fisher Price ovens. You know, you press a button, you make yourself a little pita, if you're 3 years old, and those were the days when children actually survived being exposed to these horrible dangers of getting on a subway on their own, or walking to the makolet on their own, or baking a pita on their own. Heaven help us. Anyway, all of those parents now sitting in jail, used to be that was considered to be good parenting, believe it or not. Anyway, so what's the size of a piece of cheres that was once a big boy's tanur and now is a little girl's tanur? Shiore tanur, Rabbi Akiva said, is four tvachim. Four tvachim high is enough to use as a tanur. But up until that time, they were makbid on shlosha tvachim. And that meant that Rabbi Akiva actually said that even a broken oven has the same din as a tanur chodash. And the din of a tanur chodash is that it's four tvachim. So he said, that's the case. Minimum height, arba tvachim. These were the two halachas that the Chachomim agreed with. One about the sandal of Sayadim, and the other that actually there's no difference between Shiarei Tanur and the tefillah of tanur. But there was three things, and the third one, al echad lo hodulo. And what was the third one? So this has to do a little bit with the halacha that we had earlier. Remember about a kisei shel kala, or a kisei, we had the question about a kisei that had been turned into a dough, what do you call it? A kneading trough, right? So there we had the machlokas, and here the case was that two out of the three chipuyim, remember we talked over there, the concept of chipuyim, in the case of the kala, was anything that was an extension of the basic frame of the chair. So the chipuy could be the back, the chipuy could be the handles, chipuy could be the actual seat. Here we're talking about the seat. And whenever a Mishnah says a number, it means that number out of the next number. So in other words, if it says shlosha, it means three quarters. If it says shnayim, it means two thirds. And the Mishnah says, if two of the chipuyim, ze bitzad ze, were removed. So now you're leaving only one of the three, and it's not in the middle. It's one on the side. Rabbi Akiva said, it's still considered to be a chair, because even if you can't sit on it, you could put things on it, and therefore, it would be a kli. Whereas the Chachamim say, the fact that it's a kli is not what's important. It has to be a kli that still does the same thing that it used to do. And therefore, if it doesn't do what it used to do, which means that you could sit on it, it's no longer a kli, unless you're miyachin it for that purpose. Obviously, you can be miyachin a kli at any time. But if you destroyed the previous use of the kli, according to the Chachamim, it's tahar, and therefore we paskin like the Chachamim, the Rov, will argue on Rabbi Akiva in this case.